You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The 2019 Cricket World Cup is nearly upon us. 10 teams battling it out this year, a slightly reduced field compared to what we're used to. We're going to take a look at some of the outright betting on this edition, hopefully point you in the direction of a winner or two. Joining me in the studio to preview the tournament is William Hill's Ben Barrett. Ben, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, Sam. How are you?
Good. Yeah, looking forward to the Cricket World Cup, mainly because I'm once again convinced that it's coming home. England are 15-8 favourites.
You are exactly right. It might actually be coming home. It is at home, and we're going to take it home, hopefully, all being well.
Indeed. England top the betting at 15-8. India are second in at 11-4. Australia 4-1. South Africa 9-1. New Zealand 10-1. Pakistan are 10-1. The West Indies are 12-1. Sri Lanka 40s. 66-1 for Afghanistan and 80-1 for Bangladesh. Third, the odds place 1-2 for the each-way bettors here. And with the just 10 teams, they're now all playing the same table. It's a round robin format. Everyone will play each other once, with the top four advancing through to the semi-finals, then first place fourth, second place third, and then obviously we have a deciding final to come in a few weeks. Going to spin through some of the main protagonists in the market, starting with England, as we've touched on there, who are 15-8, officially rated the top ODI side in the world, and we've just seen them dismantle Pakistan, Ben.
Exactly right. Everything points to England being favourites on home soil as well. And this is a side that is in red hot form and has been probably since a disastrous 2015 World Cup. This is a long, drawn out process over 4 years via ICC Champions Trophy tournaments. But we have a squad of players now that is probably, as a batting lineup, certainly the most exciting in world cricket.
Absolutely. I mean, the top seven, eight players on this England batting lineup are really something and can really, really go at the bowlers. They're going to be feared by everyone they line up against England. In terms of the squad selection, were there any surprises in it for you? There were a lot of players that missed out that maybe will have felt aggrieved in some way.
David Willey would have to be the one. Yep. He is so unlucky. Jofra Archer has come from not nowhere, but he's obviously new to the ODI scene and has just stormed into all kinds of franchise games over in the IPL, for example, and just he's in red hot form. And in truth be told, having a bowler that can top 95 miles an hour is just too valuable to leave out at this stage. And someone had to drop out. Sadly, that was David Willey. In terms of the batting lineup, obviously no Alex Hales for personal reasons.
Yep.
But it's weird that a guy like Alex Hales, so explosive, a match winner on his day, can be missing, and yet we're not worried one little bit because we've got batting in abundance from the likes of Roy and Bairstow. Root will take his place at three, and then that will leave the middle order, Butler, Stokes, Ali et al, to come in and thrash the end of the innings up.
Which is just an incredible middle order there, as you've alluded to. We mentioned how good the batting is, but on the bowling side of things, obviously Jofra Archer come in. Adil Rashid is a tremendously good one-day bowler. There's plenty on that side of the ball as well.
There is, and it's something we might touch upon as we go through some of the other nations, but having Adil Rashid as an out-and-out spin option is going to prove vital, especially on a couple of wickets as the summer dries some of these pitches out. I think he might come into his own later on in the tournament. Obviously, we have Moeen Ali that can spin a ball as well, so we have an out-and-out spinner with a backup spinner and genuine pace in Archer and Wood as well, who can bowl really, really quickly. And Liam Plunkett is one of those reliable feature guys who can put a ball on a sixpence whenever he needs to, and we're going to be just fine.
This is a golden opportunity for England. I think I would be disappointed if we didn't win the World Cup. Do you think they will?
Yes, short answer. Long answer is there are caveats, unfortunately. England are perennial nearly men.
Yes.
ICC Champions Trophy in 2017, went out in the semis. We were the runner-up in the one before that. We're runner-up in the T20 World Cup. So we've not got over that line yet. And when I'm looking at the other teams, we have experience in Australia, experience in India, that have been there and done it and got the T-shirt and winner's medal, so to speak. England don't have that yet. But this is the best opportunity this team has ever had.
The biggest danger to England, according to the betting, is going to come from India, who are 11-4. They've obviously got some incredibly talented one-day batsmen in their lineup. Do you view them as the biggest danger as well?
Yeah, I think you have to, as an all-round unit. There were some question marks of their team as we look at selection. Rishabh Pant has been left out, and he had a fantastic IPL. And Dinesh Kartik has come in his place. Pant not being in the squad is strange when you consider he's probably good enough to be in the team. Now, I'm not sure if that's an incorrect selection problem.
Yep.
Or whether or not they've just got that much strength in depth. Their top three, Rohit Sharma, Shikhar Dhawan and Virat Kohli, are probably three of the best opening batsmen in the world, regardless of format or team or whatever. They yes. are comparable to any three in the world ever. Beyond that, there is a little bit of a soft underbelly, and I think this is why, probably alongside home bias, that England are favourites over India. Is that little middle order. If India can be got to 40 for 3, 50 for 3, mm-hmm. there's a little question mark. They bring in MS Dhoni and maybe that slows the run rate down. And I think this is a batsman's tournament. And so if we can get a couple of early Indian wickets or another team can get a couple of early Indian wickets, there's just a little hint there in their middle order.
Yeah, as you say, some of the openers are really going to have to go lights out for India to produce. They haven't perhaps quite got the relief in the middle order that England do. As you say, if the English openers are skittled out, it's less of a problem for England because you know that we can get runs right the way down the order. They're 11-4. What about Australia then, who are 4-1 third in? It's been an interesting few years for Australian cricket, I suppose. The Test side is very much still in a transitional phase, really, yeah. For Australia. The ODI side is a little bit more put together, perhaps. They are a team that I wouldn't want my money on just right now, though, to be perfectly honest.
They are probably the fair third favourites.
Right.
In so much as you look through their batting lineup and there is undoubted quality. We're going to see the return of Stephen Smith and David Warner. And I think there's enough question marks about their returns because this is actually an Australian team that's winning cricket matches. It's winning ODIs. They've had a reasonably good year. They've had a series win over Pakistan recently and they've beaten India. Without those two star men. Those two star men are going to come straight back in the side, whether they like it or not. So someone's going to miss out. And so I wonder if that might cause a little bit of, I don't know, a disjointed batting lineup, bringing these guys in. We think David Warner's going to bat at three. He's not going to open because Usman Khawaja, who is in fantastic form, is forming a great partnership with Aaron Finch. I don't think they're going to want to break that up. So I think David Warner's going to come in at a three. Slightly unusual for him. Steve Smith probably at five down the order. So their bowling is where they're at their weakest. Mitchell Starc, their leading pace man, is probably by his own standards a little bit out of form. And in terms of a spinning option, they don't really have them. Nathan Lyon's a different animal in one day cricket than he is to test matches. He doesn't really do that well in white ball cricket. And then they've got a little leg spinner called Zampa. And we should go careful when comparing Australian leg spinners because of the great Shane Warne. But Zampa doesn't feel like the real deal just yet. So I'm concerned about their bowling attack, but I do think they've got some power in their batting.
I'm looking forward as well to the warm welcome I'm sure the Barmy Army will give all the Australian players, I suppose, but in particular the likes of Steve Smith and Dave Warner.
David Warner's going to have a strong mental attitude this summer, yes. regardless. And of course, the Ashes are just after as well.
Absolutely.
Which he'll be a very key part of as well. So, yes, we're going to make sure they are very well welcomed.
Indeed. Fourth in the betting, and the only other team at a single-figure price are the South Africans at 9-1.
I think it's possible that fourth place is up for grabs for me.
Right.
I think England, India and Australia are probably good enough over the round robin format to show their quality in enough games that they'll be fine. But there's a fourth place that's up for grabs. South Africa, West Indies, New Zealand and probably Pakistan will be eyeing up that fourth place and thinking that they have a chance over the course of enough games, runs of form. South Africa have Imran Tahir, a spin bowler who took the most IPL wickets, vastly experienced both in the international level and here in England. He's played for just about every county going, I think, at some point over his career. Their concern is with their pace attack. Rabada and Steyn, two fantastic bowlers, both missed the back end of the IPL through injury, and their warm-up games have not quite sparked just yet. So there's some concern there as to whether or not they are 100% fit, and they will need them to be 100% fit because they're bowling backups aren't up to scratch. With regards to their batting, they've got de Kock, Faf du Plessis and Hashim Amla, who are fantastic opening trio again, as we've spoken about with the likes of England and India. But again, beyond that, they're a little bit inconsistent. David Miller's a fantastic big hitter, but I don't think he's going to be able to do it for nine games of a group stage before then asking to do it into a semi-final and a final as well. So there's a few question marks about that South African side.
Who do you think will finish fourth?
I've got a little hunch. And it's nothing more than a hunch. And it's a surprising hunch. I've got a hunch that Pakistan get there.
Okay.
They've been absolutely humiliated by England this
yep.
summer. They've played really poorly.
Yep.
But they do tournament cricket. They are the ICC Champions Trophy holders from 2 years ago. They beat India in that final. When it comes to tournaments, they peak. They know how to get to that point. And we've talked about the opening three batsmen for a lot of teams. I think, and this is just my personal opinion, that Imam Al-Haq, who have got a big century against England in defeat, they have got an opening batsman to come up against anyone else you want to name. And in their third batsman, Babar Azam, who is my outside bet for top tournament run scorer, they have a guy bang in form. He's ranked number one T20 batsman in the world and is scoring runs consistently and making good starts. And I think as a three, they will be able to make enough runs. Mohammad Amir is going to come back in as a bowling attacker. I think Mohammad Amir is a fantastic talent with the ball, and his style of bowling will suit English conditions. I've got a feeling that Pakistan might just sneak that fourth place.
Okay. And then what about the other teams that are in the tournament this year? Sri Lanka, Afghanistan and Bangladesh, it's likely to not really be about progressing to the semi-finals and beyond for these three teams. They'll be approaching the World Cup in a different way. How do you think they'll fare? They'll obviously be hoping not to be the whipping boys. They'll want to be competitive, win games if they can, of course. What do you think this World Cup's going to hold for that trio, who are likely to occupy the bottom three spots?
Yeah, doing the research for the Sri Lankan side was absolutely fascinating. They've left their most experienced batsman at home, Chandamal. They've left two of their best bowlers at home. They've appointed a new captain in Karun Arathna, excuse my pronunciation, who hasn't played an ODI since the last World Cup.
Right.
And left in the former captain, Lasith Malinga, to lead the line with the bowling. He's not getting any younger, Malinga, and others aren't quite stepping up to the plate. Sri Lanka, for me, out of all of these, might be the weakest team in the entire tournament. They're in terrible form, and we've spoken about this being a batsman's tournament. They've only scored 300 or more once this year. That's not enough. 300 is the new 200. You have to be looking at getting 350s,
yes.
400s to make reasonable scores that you can defend, or looking at a 380, 390 and thinking we can chase that down without a problem. Sri Lanka simply aren't doing that. I'll be looking at stage of elimination bets and thinking I'm taking them to go out early doors. If I can get a bet on them finishing rock bottom of the lot, I will.
Okay, and that also means that we're going to get a decent price about taking on Sri Lanka, particularly with the other two minnows, if you like, in this tournament, the two unfancied teams in the shape of Bangladesh and also Afghanistan. When it comes to them playing Sri Lanka, they're obviously going to be the outsiders, the way the outright betting stacks up. So you think Sri Lanka are going to finish bottom. What about the other two, Bangladesh and Afghanistan?
Afghanistan are going to cause a shock somewhere.
Okay.
They are going to beat one of the big boys.
Right.
They have a couple of players. Rashid Khan is probably the best spinner in the world right now. And in Mohammad Nabi, they have an all-rounder that is all the talk of all the franchise tournaments around the world in white ball cricket. In T20s, he's been everywhere and played fantastically well. This is their second World Cup, so they are getting that experience. They're getting that tournament stuff. I think Afghanistan can cause a huge upset. As for Bangladesh, they're probably in the same boat. They'll be thinking about being overpriced in pretty much every one of their fixtures. They've won a little tri-series in the warm-up to this World Cup against West Indies and Ireland, so they've got a little bit about them as well. The West Indies we haven't mentioned at all.
Mm.
They have had a pretty iffy build-up. Like I said, they missed out in that tri-series, and they've had to bring in Chris Gayle and Andre Russell, two of the most exciting batsmen in the world, really late. They stayed with their IPL teams to the very end. So they haven't played a single warm-up game as of time of recording without joining their team. So the West Indies have been in Ireland. They've not had the success that they should have done. And now they're going to bring in these two stars. And I'm not sure that's going to do them any favours, really. This is Chris Gayle's goodbye. He's retiring after this. The way I'm going to play West Indies bets is I'm going to take every single one of those matches, and I'm going to bet on them to score the most sixes. Because in Andre Russell and Chris Gayle, they've got two batsmen that just don't care. They will put everything in the stand or everything in the sky to be caught. They'll make 100 or they'll make six.
Yes.
And that's that. So I don't think over the course of a round-robin format that'll suit the West Indies. I don't think they'll get through to the semi-finals, but it's going to be very exciting to watch.
Absolutely. Let's nail down some anti-post bets then,
okay.
Ben. Where would your money be pre-tournament?
So outright, I am going to go with England. I am going to go with England. In terms of value, when it comes to those final four, I may reassess that depending on the draw. I think Australia may be in a position to upset somebody like India or England in a semi-final, perhaps. But as an anti-post bet, you have to go England. The conditions will suit. The grounds will suit. If we play every game at Trent Bridge, we will be absolutely flying. We love that place. As in terms of batsmen, I've been looking at the top batsman market for the tournament, and I've got three that I want to throw up. I want to throw up Johnny Bairstow. I want to throw up Usman Khawaja of Australia, and I want to throw up Babar Azam of Pakistan. The reason being that four of the last five top tournament batsmen have been opening batsmen, which allows us Usman Khawaja and Johnny Bairstow to fit that profile fantastically. Khawaja, I think, has led the line for Australia in David Warner's absence, and I don't think they're going to want to change that. So they're going to be as focused on Usman Khawaja for them. Johnny Bairstow is in red-hot form, scintillating form right now. And if he gets going, if he can open himself up and really get into enjoying his cricket, there isn't a better opening batsman in the world. Babar Azam, this is purely a form guide thing. I saw him in a T20 against England, played fantastically well. And at time of recording, he's currently in bat against Afghanistan, spanking them around the park as well. So I think Babar Azam, I think a fairly decent double-figure price, could be a little each-way shout.
Johnny Bairstow is 10-1. Babar Azam is 25-1. It's also 25-1 for Usman Khawaja. And you can bet each way in this market as well. Quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3 and 4 for your each-way bet. So 10's about Johnny Bairstow. Babar Azam, 25-1. Usman Khawaja, 25-1. Fingers crossed we'll get a run from at least one of those in the top tournament batsman market. Anything else and your favourite bet before we wrap up?
My favourite bet is probably Usman Khawaja. Both to be the top batsman of the entire tournament. But as we get closer to the tournament, I'm hoping to see top Australian batsmen to come up as well, because David Warner, Steve Smith and Aaron Finch are likely to all be ahead of him in the betting. And yet I feel that Khawaja is the best they've got.
25-1 for Usman Khawaja then to be the top batsman in the tournament. There we are, the thoughts of Ben Barrett ahead of the ICC World Cup 2019, which is not too far away from getting underway now. You'll hear more from Ben throughout the course of the tournament. Thank you for that. Been an absolute pleasure. Been very informative, and enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.